5:04 in the Fast Lane. Time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. Brad Barnes, Brad Thompson, Chris Ranji, Randy Carricker. Take it or leave it coming up in a moment. Send in your text to the Hot Shots text line at 65780. Before we get to Teoli, though, beers were flowing and shots were being passed around after the Blues Cup win last night, and a little bit during the game as well. By the sounds of it, most of them ended up in Meat's hands. This was from our post-game show last night here on 101 ESPN.
He might be the drunkest guy in St. Louis. He wants to talk to you.
More than Brett Hall? Brad Barnes, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm not Brett Hall, but I am Brett Barnes. How are we doing?
Can I hear the Let's Go Blues that Brett Hall gave at the home game? Can you give me a Let's Go Blues?
So don't say anything you can't.
That's going to be hard to top. All right. I'll try it. Are we ready?
We're ready.
Are we recording?
Let's go Blues!
Keep in mind, this guy is from Kansas City. Just as good as Ovi.
Okay?
We're still good, bro.
Are we okay?
We're still good. You know what?
All right.
You actually joined.
I'll tell you what.
Go ahead.
You just keep going.
I've never been happy in my life to see Chris Ranji. Was the happiest I've ever been to see Chris Ranji. After a Blues win, after they clinched the cup, I've been here 4 years. I never, ever, ever thought I would see the Blues clinch the Stanley Cup.
Meat, doing it.
That was fun.
Meat, you had a good time.
Oh, buddy.
I had a great time.
He had a great time.
Meat also just told me in the hallway, I think I had a cigar last night or something. I was like, why?
I
woke up
and
it was this weird taste.
Where do you think that came from?
Classic. I know we're very soon going to have side-by-sides of Hully and Brad Barnes. No. Guys, take it or leave it. You felt really bad for Brad Marchand last night when he was crying after his team lost.
Oh, man. I'm going to leave it. I mean, I get emotions and all, but I didn't feel so bad for him.
I'm going to leave it, too.
I was too busy feeling good for somebody else.
I have to be honest, being in Enterprise, I was just kind of so, I guess, caught up in what was going on there. I didn't know he was crying until you just told me that, and that made my day about 10% better.
There you go. So you weren't devastated
by
it.
No, not at all. Was it take it or leave it? I was devastated.
Yeah. Leave it.
Because I just got much happier.
Guys, take it or leave it. If Meat's Chiefs ever win the Super Bowl, Meat has to do the post-game show by himself hammered.
100% take it.
It's going to be tough. We want to look, I'm going to leave it because we want to keep the license.
I'm taking it.
And the dump button only works once.
Raw emotion is real.
Or twice.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, Meat.
That's passion. That's
my
real.
God.
That's excitement. So, that's the guy that said he'd stay for a beer.
That's exactly what he said. He said, I'm going to stay for a beer, watch the period, I'm going to go home. I left, went to Enterprise, came back after the game, and it was, 45 minutes or an hour after because everybody hung around in the building for a long time once the game ended. Nobody left. And so then I know it took me a good hour to get back to the note. I walked in, Meat's right in the entrance.
And apparently Austin Huff and I had a conversation for like an hour that I don't remember. Yeah.
They left. They went outside. They were talking for a good 45 minutes. And I came out and I'm like, hey, guys, you going to come back in and hang out? Doesn't remember the conversation.
Nope.
So today, as we were getting ready to start the show, we each have our own desktop, our own computer, which is a pretty common. Well, you guys are rich. And so I signed into Twitter. And you know when you sign into Twitter, up in the top right, there's a section called Who to Follow. Mm-hmm. And it'll give you like three suggestions of people you might be interested in. The number one suggestion today when I logged in was Alex Ovechkin.
Ah.
Take it or leave it. That was random.
Leave it. They know where you are.
Yeah, I'm going to leave it, too.
I'm going to leave it. I think it meant something. I think that Twitter knew. They knew what today was.
Yeah.
They knew the celebration that was beginning. And they put him in the very beginning for me to follow. So I've done it.
My three are the Carolina Hurricanes, the Buffalo Sabres, and We Won the Cup, which is St. Louis game time.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, all hockey related. All right, Big says, if you can get the blurriness out of your eyes, what do you got
for
us?
Figure it out. Take it or leave it. Craig Berube gets his contract extension announced at the victory parade. I think I'm going to leave it.
I'm going to leave it, too. Yeah, it's
leave it. It'll be soon.
They're going to push it off, and this is still about the team. It's about the group. Right. Everybody knows he's going to be the coach.
He's probably not going to be in a condition to really think about or talk about.
Let's do a press conference now. It's going to sound like meat.
Right.
Take it or leave it, even if he never wins another game, Jordan Binnington is the best goalie in Blues history.
Take it.
Yeah, not overall numbers. We all know that. And the Blues have been very fortunate to have some great ones. But nobody was able to bring you that moment. Yeah. So doesn't matter if his career ended today. That was it. Mm-hmm. For some reason, he decided to hang up the skates and he was done. He'd be remembered forever here.
By the way, aside from saying blank everybody, he is Kurt Warner.
I can't see
Wait,
Kurt pulling
you didn't say
that
Kurt
move.
Never did that?
But it's the same story. It's incredible. One in football, one in hockey. It's fantastic. Although he didn't put groceries on shelves either, cans of beans and stuff. But in terms of having a real tough time getting to the top, believing in themselves, and then succeeding when getting the opportunity, very similar.
Take it or leave it. You have not seen anybody with the Blues drink out of the cup better than Tom Stillman.
Oh, I'll take it because I don't know if I've actually witnessed other people. I mean, I've seen them all drinking, but I don't know if I've seen them drink out of the cup. He's the only one that I've – the only video I've seen is him.
His was – it was kind of hard. It's hard to drink anything when someone else is holding the cup. And right. I feel like that was kind of an awkward one for him mm-hmm. to get the head in there. But he nailed it. So, look, I'm going to take it. Stillman nailed it.
Take it or leave it. Army getting Ryan O'Reilly is now the second best trade in Blues history behind Brett Hull.
Yeah, I'll take that.
It's worked out, so I'll just go with that.
And how do you feel if you're Buffalo – and you traded him for a number one pick, and that's the 31st pick in the draft. It's basically a second rounder. 3 years ago, it would have been a second round pick. And you get Patrick Berglund, who's no longer there, Vladdy Sobotka, who can't play, and Tage Thompson, who wound up in the minors.
The pick looks so good in January.
It really did.
Look at what's going to happen here.
But the Blues were going to keep it because it was top 10 protected.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
Despite all the work by the players on the ice, all the film study and all of that, take it or leave it, the reason the Blues won the cup is because we in the fast lane touched it.
I don't know what
totally
else it could possibly
be. Yeah, we all
be.
Touched that thing, man. We were in. All of us. Every one of us were in.
Here's what I know.
Were you here?
Nope.
I had plausible deniability. If things went wrong, if things went great, we touched it, you know?
Yeah, right.
Fast lane. It's a team, you know? There's no high-end team, right, guys?
That's right, buddy.
We touched it.
Randy, when's the first time you touched the Stanley Cup?
Was it during the Dallas series?
Yeah, so about a month or so ago.
Yeah,
that was the first time I touched it. And
I
when's the first?
It. I got a picture of it.
That's right, I got it. When's the first time they won the Stanley Cup?
2019, last
so
night.
So same year.
So what are you telling me? As you use your math deductions here,
There is no other reason other than we touched it.
In every year that we have touched the Stanley Cup, the
Blues
have won the Stanley Cup.
In the only year we've touched it.
Yep.
So.
Yep. Thanks, Big Sis.
Thank you.
And thanks for your text to the Hot Shots. Text line 65780. When you talk about guys who have paid their dues with the Blues, you have to talk about Barrett Jackman. He joins us next on 101 ESPN. Welcome back to the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN with Cardinal World Series champ Brad Thompson and Chris Ronji. I'm Randy Carricker. The Blues are Stanley Cup champions. And we head to the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line. And our friend, former Blues defenseman and former Calder Trophy winner, Barrett Jackman, joins us. Jax, first of all, it's always great to talk to you. And second of all, it's awesome to talk to you under these circumstances with the Blues winning the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's just cool to be a part of the alumni and part of a storied tradition and history, and now the organization could say that they finally won one.
And I like to talk about the people that I'm happiest for and the people that gave blood, sweat, and tears to the organization, and you're one of those. You literally gave your body to the Blues, shoulders, knees, ankles, legs. There's a lot of body parts on that Enterprise Center ice that Barrett Jackman used to have.
Yeah, there is, and I wouldn't change it for anything. Greatest time of my life. Very, very honored and privileged to play in the NHL and play for the Blues, and you know what, I would do it 100 times over and, you know, give any limb I had to play again.
Barry, you were there last night, man. You were in the thick of things. I got to hear it. I got to hear about the emotions, the atmosphere, just the overall feel of when that game is over. There are sticks, there are pads, there are helmets flying everywhere. I mean, walk us through it from where you were at.
Yeah, I was up in the owner's suite. Tom Stillman was in the row, kind of down and across from me. I was sitting with Chris Pronger, Keith Tkachuk, and Brett Hall, and Bobby Plager was on the couch behind because he couldn't stand to watch. So it was absolutely amazing. You know, that first goal, everybody was. It was pretty excited, and you know, the second goal goes in. Petro, amazing move and play by Schwartzy, and you know, we felt that we got outplayed in the first period and came out with you know, 2-0 lead. And you know, the third goal, we started celebrating a little bit and still had that you know, kind of what if. And then once that fourth goal went in, we were all you know, had tears welling up, and we were pretty excited.
That's kind of where I was going to go with this next question, because I remember when it was 4-1, I still felt like, oh, God, bad things can happen, you know. So I was kind of wondering, you know, when did you really start to let yourself go and feel like, okay, man, this is happening?
Yeah, you know, it was kind of on that third goal. It was, you know, Prongs and I kind of look back at Bobby, and we're like, Bobby, you got to get down there, man. They're going to hoist that cup, and you got to be part of it. And he's like, no, I can't get off the couch. And then, yeah, the fourth goal went in. Or Bobby, get down there and go enjoy this. So it was right around then that, you know, you could just see that relief in the box. And, you know, the ownership was amazing and had three suites next to each other. And, you know, the only people in the building besides this, you know, the spattering of Blues fans that were all standing and celebrating.
Barry Jackman with us on 101 ESPN. And for people that aren't aware of it, Bob Plager scouted Barrett Jackman in juniors when the Blues drafted you. He wanted you to have number 5. You were his favorite player. So, and I know that your love of him is reciprocated. So what was it like for you to be in the building with him and be able to experience this with Bob Plager?
It was so cool. You know, he's meant so much for the Blues, and you know, he's you know, kind of been that guy that's kind of had to answer questions year after year of why not now. And he can finally say that you know, this is what we got. We got the cup, and it was pretty cool. I got back to St. Louis. I went and woke my son up and took him to the rink, and you know, it was the first time I touched the cup was with Bobby Plager and my son.
I mean, that had to be so emotional, that moment right there that you're just telling us about, touching the cup. You've got Bobby, you've got your kid there. Any tears in that moment?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'm still thinking about it now. It's you know, kind of chokes me up. So just to be able to share that with some special friends, and you know, just so proud of the guys. You know, everything they accomplished this year, and you know, no matter what they went through, it was it's pretty cool.
You know, I don't know how you feel, but I know when we were talking about the team back in January, early January, and things weren't looking good, it's very hard for me personally to realize this has happened to this particular team, you know, where they were and coming back from being the worst in the NHL at one point of the season, pretty deep into the season, and then getting here where they are. I can't stop thinking about where they came from to where they got.
Yeah, just, you know, Berube's, you know, post-game press conference the other day when he just kind of started laughing. He's like, you know, if anyone's going to tell me that we're going to be in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals 4 months ago, he had the chuckle. And, yeah, that's kind of what everybody felt. To go where they were to where they are now, and Stanley Cup champions is I can't wait to see the movie.
How much of a difference did that make when the way he would handle press conferences? Because I, you know, we're not in the locker room for what he says to the team after a game is over, in particular after a loss. But that kind of attitude where it's just like, hey, you know, you lose game six, you lose tough at home when everybody was kind of ramping up expecting a celebration to happen and then it didn't happen in game six. And he just kind of says, hey, man, we're going to game seven. I mean, this is great. I mean, how much does that really truly help a team?
Yeah, his demeanor, his calm, his presence, everything was just the way that, the Blues kind of, embodied, him and Binnington too, kind of just that whatever's thrown at us, we're going to overcome it. And we're going to have fun doing it and stick together. And that's exactly what happened.
Barrett, you have been around for a long time. You've made yourself a St. Louisan and you know this community and especially the hockey community very well. What's it mean to you to have this organization win for that group of people that have some literally supported the franchise for 52 years?
Yeah. I'm so happy. I'm a fan now. I'm not just an alumni. I'm a huge fan. And, my family and friends are all, celebrating as we're fans. And I'm just lucky that, I actually get to put the blue note on. But just excited to see, the city has won championships with the Cardinals, with the Rams. But this is something that, they really wanted. And you can tell with the way the city has responded in the last 2 months.
And for a lot of the defensemen on this team, Barrett Jackman was a mentor. A young Alex Pietrangelo comes in, and Barrett Jackman is here. A young Colton Parayko arrives on the scene. It's got to be pretty cool to see those young guys that in some way, shape, or form you helped along get to the pinnacle.
Yeah, it's a small part. But the guys before me, kind of passed down their wisdom and their trials and tribulations, and I did the same with these guys. So it's a great tradition to pass along and to teach, and proud of every one of those guys that be able to reach the pinnacle of their sport, and we're going to celebrate and have fun together for the next few days.
Barrett, nothing normal about this year, as we all know. I mean, we've talked about it already, the coaching change, the being in last place. But you mentioned Jordan Binnington. We finally saw a little bit of emotion out of him. He, raised his fist, and then he got all pumped up. And we've seen tons of videos since then. But, I mean, who'd have thought? I mean, this guy's fourth on the depth chart. Nobody knew his name coming in, at least the fans. I mean, you guys do, obviously. You know all your guys. But for him to be able to step up like that in the biggest moments, to weather all the storms, That is so cool to see a guy do something like that.
Yeah, and it just shows the self confidence he had, the belief in what he can do, and some guys wait till they're 25 till they're 30, and you get the opportunity and they seize it, and that's what he did, and that's a true professional, a true competitor. And, happy for him, and hopefully. This is a common occurrence that the Blues are in the finals and raising the cup, and Benner will be a big part of that.
So Jordan Binnington last night, I don't know if you saw this, he showed some emotion. He kind of threw his stick a little bit. That was incredible.
Yeah, some guys are finally get that release, and whether it's one fist pump or dropping the stick, he has that stoic demeanor that you love in a goaltender, and I'm sure it was a huge relief when it was all over, and he was a huge part of it, and O'Reilly and him and Schwartz, there's so many guys that could have got that Conn Smythe, and he was definitely one in the conversation.
Hey, Barrett, before we let you go, I know the players are going to enjoy this, and everybody will take the cup to their hometown, and they'll be able to treat the people in their town, their family and friends, to a vision of the cup. But it seems like training camp is about 2 weeks away. It's amazing how long you play when you win this thing, isn't it?
Yeah, the scouts and Doug Armstrong are going right to the draft here, the award ceremonies and draft and all that. So, those guys are right back to work today, but they're going to go to work with a smile on their face and have a lot of people congratulating them when they're at the draft, and it's going to be it's going to be a pretty good summer for everybody.
It sure is. Well, for all that you and the other Blues alumni have done, we're so happy on behalf of the Fastlane that you were able to be a part of it last night. Thanks for taking the time, and let's go Blues.
Let's go Blues. Thanks, fellas.
That is Barrett Jackman joining us here in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Next up, get your questions into the Hot Shots text line, 65780. The Sports Six Pack coming your way on 101 ESPN. And we appreciate your text to the Hot Shots text line, 65780. And with your questions for us, here's Big Sizz.
Well, besides the Blues winning the Stanley Cup, I think the second biggest news story in St. Louis today is Randy's future tattoo. Randy, everybody's asking about it on the text line. What is your ideal tattoo situation when you get this all done?
I want a Stanley Cup with a Blue Note incorporated.
And so, I'm sorry, yes. I'm trying to get specific here. When you say incorporated, like, is it like next to it? Do you want it within? Do you want it like overlapping?
Kind of overlapping to the left a little bit.
All right, cool.
I'd ideally like to have a sash with 2019 on it, just a small sash. And I would need some help from the artist in how I could incorporate the word Gloria. But I want to do that, too.
That should be easy enough to get in there somehow, some way.
Yeah.
And classy.
Then the big key, the thing I want, and I don't know how easy or difficult it is. I've seen on the internet Stanley Cup tattoos that look silvery, shinier, rather than gray. And I know that I can't get like something that looks like chrome, but I would ideally like to have something as silvery as possible.
What about lead?
And about 5 to 6 inches tall, and it's going to go on my back, on my left shoulder.
So lead? No lead? Yeah.
I don't know.
That would be really bad for you. Don't do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was last night the single biggest sports moment in St. Louis history?
Was it my book? Yeah, when the Blues won the Cup, it was. Because it had never happened before.
It's your first one.
Took 52 years. Even the Cardinals didn't take, what did they take, 25 to win their first in 1926 in real life terms. So that didn't have to happen. The Big Red obviously never had a game like that. The Rams did it in their fifth year here, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99. So we had to wait longer, and this was kind of like the 99 Rams, an improbable story. But I think for St. Louis, on a national level, obviously, winning a Super Bowl is bigger than winning a Stanley Cup. But for St. Louis, I think that this was the biggest night ever in sports.
Every single championship is great.
Yep.
Every one of them are special. Every single one of them have memories. And every time you win a championship, it's a memory. And it has a far-lasting impact, a lifetime of an impact. But this one did feel different last night, certainly.
For me, it was for sure. Just because it's the first St. Louis championship I've been here for since 82. And I don't remember 82. I was like 5. So I have a vague idea. I remember Celebrate Good Times. I remember the Cooling the Gang's song playing all the time.
Celebrate Good Times. Come on.
That's the one. Yeah. I remember it, but it's all vague, you know? So this was the first time I was here for it. I was here for something. And like you said, it had never happened before.
And I do think in objective terms, the Stanley Cup is the hardest trophy to win in sports.
Yeah, I agree.
What is the future for the Blues and Pat Maroon?
I think the Blues will try to sign him, and I would hope that he would want to stay here.
That can't be just a you're just here and then you're gone one, right?
I can't imagine, no.
His I see him being back. He had the epic moment. We'll have to ask. Randy, I'll ask you really quick. Do you have a goal in mind that when you think about the Blues, is there one goal in the franchise history that rings out above others? And obviously I'm asking you because of the Pat Maroon double overtime winner. Like, I feel like that could be one of them. Maybe it's Ryan O'Reilly. Maybe it was Gunnarsson actually winning a game for you, the first Stanley Cup final game ever. Or maybe it was a long time ago. Like, what?
No,
do you have one?
I believe that prior to this year, Wickenheiser scoring the winner in the 1986 Monday Night Miracle was number one. Because of the circumstances, Game 7, if you win the game, you move on. If you lose the game, you're going home. It was a game here in St. Louis. And because he's from St. Louis, I think all of that combines to make that the biggest goal in Blues history. I know where you're going with it, and I agree.
It's
I can't have that guy for just 1 year. And you don't sign guys just for because of like heartstring stuff. But he's also, he's you a, tell the guys rally around him.
And he's a Berube guy.
Yeah, he's perfect.
He is probably the essence of what Craig Berube wants to have on his team.
Randy, I see a thing called titanium silver tattoo ink.
Okay, good.
Which I think might accomplish what you're looking for.
Okay.
If I'm reading this correctly.
That might work?
I think so. It's a slightly grayish tint that reflects a light silver color.
That's good.
So maybe that's what we're looking for.
Randy, I'm not trying to add more to your tattoo. Seriously, I'm not when I'm asking this, but I'm just thinking about how cool this would look if you could also behind the cup incorporate the arch a little bit. Like, do you think that'd be something you might think about? Still same 5-6-inch piece.
Yeah, not a bad idea.
I don't know. Just think about it.
Okay.
Something to kick around. You're good.
How do you think David Backus is feeling today?
Not great.
Not great. No, I still would love to, and maybe one of these days we'll actually hear, there'll be a moment of honesty, like heart of hearts, how he was feeling watching that game, the entire game, from start to finish, watching his good buddy Petro hoist the cup.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to feel, I would guess that he's in a little bit of a state of shock currently, and maybe a tad bit of sadness.
I think it's mostly sadness. It's got to be, because you've got an opportunity, pretty good team. You're coming back home with a chance to win it. You're not involved in the game, but you think you're going to get a ring. You think you're going to get your name on that cup, and it's your former team that prevents you from getting it. I don't think you feel good about that in the slightest.
So as we know, the Blues very young. They've got their goalie, who they hope is the goalie of the future. Do you see a dynasty in the next couple of years?
No.
Hell yes. look at us go. It's day after. We're talking dynasty. I'm digging it. Now we know how to win. This is perfect.
As great as the Blackhawks were, they never won back-to-back. Pittsburgh did win back-to-back with different goalies, one with Fleury and one with Matt Murray. Murray won them both, but Fleury played the predominant part of the regular season in the first year. Because of the grind and because of the small amount of time you have between seasons when you win the cup, it's almost impossible to get back to two in a row. So a dynasty would be 3 in 7 or 8 years. And I think the Blues, with their core at 27, 28, 29 years old, I think it'll be hard to have a great 7-year run.
It feels like the regular season ended 6 months ago.
Yeah,
it's been such a long time, and that's how far after the season ends you're still playing at this point. It has to, and the off season is, you know, short anyway. It feels like that only lasts a couple of weeks, and then you're right back at it, right back at training camp. I think it's really tough to recover physically by the time next season rolls around.
By the way, going back to David Backus, there's a guy in Boston who has started a GoFundMe to try to buy David Backus out of his contract.
What are they up to?
Bruins fan. He says, unfortunate that the buyout period is from June 15th to June 30th. I do not believe I'll be able to raise $6 million to buy out David Backus.
Well, it's all about the effort.
Yep. Good try.
At the Blues Celebration Parade on Saturday, who, player-wise, do you think will be the most intoxicated?
I'll go with Pat Maroon.
Pat Maroon's a good choice. He handles it really well.
Yeah.
So Ryan O'Reilly, I feel like, could get up there a little bit, too. They seem to be having a great time.
Oh my God, you know what, though?
I'm going to pick, I believe it was Robbie Fabry, who was chugging a 1,200 bottle. By the way, and that's if 1,200 bucks if you can find it and somebody gives you face value.
There are celebrities that can't get a hold of it.
He's chugging Pappy on the ice, which is blasphemous,
but it's
awesome and fantastic. So maybe Fabry can get in there a little bit.
Now, if we go beyond players to the front office, who are we picking?
Well, I think I'm going to go Hulley.
I think so, too.
I'm pretty sure Brett Hull's a cyborg.
He's amazing. He's remarkable.
He's fine. Yeah. Who do you think the first Blues player is to go to sleep? Who was it? Somebody has to have taken a nap by now, right?
I don't think so.
Still going?
You know, if I got to pick one, it's going to be the captain.
Yeah, I would think so, too.
Got the triplets.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's a good call.
Who do you think got the drunkest in this room?
Yeah, I think that's safe.
Yeah, that was Brad Barnes.
Thanks, Big Sis.
Thank you.
Greg Amsinger, MLB Network, is next with us on 101 ESPN. And Greg Amsinger, MLB Network's lead anchor, is a native of the home of the Stanley Cup champions, the St. Louis Blues. He's with us now on the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line. Hi, Greg.
Hey, guys. Thank you for squeezing me in on a day that I don't think anybody wants to hear about what I had to say about baseball. It's all about hockey. Let me just tell you that I've been known to jinx no-hitters. I've been known to jinx things because I want things to happen and they just don't happen because I'm on the set or whatever. I think I have a part of this Game 7 victory for the St. Louis Blues. And let me tell you why. I was live at 8 p.m. Eastern. My show began and it ended at 11 p.m. Eastern. I was not allowed to see a single second of Game 7. I was on TV the entire time the Blues played. And because of that, you're welcome, St. Louis.
You've been screwing this up over the years, Greg, and we had no idea?
Yeah, apparently I'm 52 years old. I didn't know it.
Hey, for you, because it is special, we've been having so much fun today just hearing from whether it's players, broadcasters, you know Randy's love for the Blues. When did your Blues love start? We know your Cardinal fandom, but what about the Blues?
Little kid, man. I used to love watching the Blues take on the Blackhawks. Bernie Federko was my hero. The Cavallini brothers, awesome. I remember Garth Butcher. He was an awesome defenseman. Grant Fuhr before that. Was it Millen? What was Millen's first
name? Greg Millen?
Greg Millen, yes, the goalie with the old cage mask. Loved him. And then, of course, it morphed into the Craig Janney, Brendan Shanahan days with Curtis Joseph and then Mike Keenan screwed the whole thing up. And I was so upset about what Mike Keenan did to the St. Louis Blues that my fandom really kind of I poured it into college sports more than I did NHL. But I always followed along with the St. Louis Blues. I'm not kidding, man. I said this on the air last night to a baseball audience. But we had a camera. We were showing our ballpark camera images inside Busch Stadium to watch all of those fans in Blues gear celebrate for every goal. It was awesome. We were showing it on our show on MLB Tonight. And I kept reminding people when they were celebrating when the Blues won the Stanley Cup, this is a very important day for the city of St. Louis. The last time national news was made in terms of professional sports, some people would point to the World Series, the Cardinals. No, it's actually the Rams leaving St. Louis. That was the last time nationwide people were talking about the city when it comes to sports. And to have this happen and to watch, to me, it puts St. Louis sports fans on a national stage. And I'm always proud when that happens because the loyalty, the grit, the daily mental following of the roster, everything that happens with the Cardinals and the Blues, fans in St. Louis wear it to work the next day. They wear it at the dinner table that night. It is within the culture of being a St. Lunatic. Now I got it right. St. Lunatic. We're crazy about sports. So it's a wonderful thing, and to see Blues fans do what they did last night and have that. I was jealous of all my friends that got to go party in the streets. I wish I was there with them, but, you know, my mission on earth is to talk about baseball 24/7.
Well, Greg, I mean, this city, as you know, had a couple of massive watch parties, and they sold out Enterprise Center. They did not sell out Busch Stadium because, you know, the TV's on one side of the stadium, so it only really made sense to have the opposite side occupied. But it looked, from some angles, like a full house. It felt that way. As you saw those images that you were talking about from Busch, what were you thinking? What was that as striking to you as it was for the rest of us?
Well, first off, it's a great question. Because I'm from St. Louis, I looked and I tried to find people that I knew. it's amazing how everywhere you go in St. Louis, no matter where you are, you think you're about to run into somebody that you might know. You know, you want to ask the question, where did you go to high school? That's the most popular thing in that town. And I was looking for relatives, for friends. I had a couple buddies that were actually there that night. But, you know, I feel like in many ways they were all my relatives. They've all lived through. Do you know what image popped in my head last night? I had a Randy Carricker memory. during a commercial break as the Blues are about to win the Stanley Cup. I'm sitting back in my chair. I'm like, I cannot believe the Blues are going to win the Stanley Cup. And first off, I said that on the air. The Blues have just scored. It's 4-0. We're showing fans in St. Louis celebrating. I'm like, the guys, there are only a couple of minutes left. The Blues are going to win the Stanley Cup. And then Harold and Dan Blesak are like, don't say that. You're a jinx. Guys, I got goosebumps when this happened. The Bruins scored 5 seconds after I said it.
There you go.
And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to say it again. They're not going to win the Stanley Cup. It's not going to happen. So anyway, I thought about a moment. I was producing at another station for Randy, and the Blues were knocked out the first round of the playoffs. I don't know what year this was, Randy, but some caller called in, and he was wearing out the Blues, and he was angry about the team. He was almost angry at you. He wouldn't stop yelling. And then you just, in the most professional way ever, you were on remote, okay, and I was producing back at the station, and you go, you know what, sir, you don't need to watch the team anymore. That's fine. And we, like, hung up on the guy. And I was like,
right.
I wonder how many fans gave up hope on this organization, on this franchise over the years. I wonder how many times they pulled their hair out so often that they were fed up and they were done. Like, they're not – this isn't Wrigley Field. This isn't North Side of Chicago. Cub fans are the lovable losers. Those people didn't even care if they won the World Series. They had their shirts off in the sunlight, and they're pounding beers. It was more of a culture –
their playground.
Yes, it wasn't really all about the X's and O's. Cardinal fans don't play that way. St. Louis fans don't play that way. They want to win. So they live and die with the Blues. And to never taste the Stanley Cup, I'm sure there were a lot of fans that gave up, like I sort of did. And that moment was striking to me, and I remembered it vividly. And I tip my cap to all those Blues fans, like Randy Carricker, like Joe Buck, who sits mm-hmm. behind the glass and loves his season tickets, who every postseason walked away grinding their teeth but yet knew that there would be a day like this. I tip my cap to the true loyal Blue fans out there that never, ever second-guessed where this organization was going.
The great Greg Amsinger, MLB Network, with us on 101 ESPN. All right, let's talk a little baseball. The Cardinals face Jacob DeGrom of the Mets tonight. He can't be any better than Jordan Yamamoto.
He was awesome. We interviewed Jordan Yamamoto. First off, first name is Jordan, like the first name of the goalie for the St. Louis Blues. Mm-hmm. He was wearing number 50. We asked him, why do you wear number 50? Obviously, kid's from Hawaii, the 50th state. What is the goal? Bennington's number is number 50. I mean, Derek Gould put out a great tweet. The last time a rookie led a St. Louis team to a championship was Adam Wainwright getting the final out for the Cardinals in 2006 wearing the number 50, right? And so that was the magic number of the night. This Yamamoto kid was amazing. He was so good. And, guys, I think this is where the sport's headed. He doesn't have velocity. Ticks it up to maybe 91, 92 last night. He's in the Kenta Maeda mold. And if you look at Kenta Maeda this year, what is he doing? Well, he is not finding barrels. So the exit velocity against Kenta Maeda is one of the lowest, if not the lowest, in the sport. In a day and age where we're looking for guys to light up a radar gun, the end result of guys overthrowing for velocity is mislocation. Therefore, the ball's squared up. You know, that's why Jordan Hicks can sometimes not get swing and miss with 103 miles an hour. If it's center cut, professional hitters are professional hitters. You might see more guys like Jordan Yamamoto become a coveted rotation piece, someone that's not lining up radar gun, but is crafty, and that's why a team like the Diamondbacks interested in Mike Leake, former Cardinal Mike Leake, who hasn't had a ton of success for the Mariners. It's just that other look. Guys, these dead brain heavers, which Jacob DeGrom is not, I think you're going to see the adjustment being made in the sport. Will the Cardinals have their hands full with DeGrom? Every team's got their hands full with DeGrom. The issue for DeGrom right now, him and Wilson Ramos are not on the same page, and they might be soaring towards a specialist behind the plate for Jacob DeGrom because these two guys are about to fight in the dugout. DeGrom doesn't like throwing them.
Yeah, I didn't get to watch last night, obviously, but the way you describe Yamamoto reminds me of, and tell me if I'm off base here, the Cardinals have been dominated a couple times this year by Kyle Hendricks.
Yes, yes. The soft stuff for all of these baseball players that are getting used to hitting off machines that are throwing 95 miles an hour will screw you up. It's a game of timing. And what is the other thing that we're noticing that's a fad in the sport offensively? It's not just launch angle, which obviously is a major factor of what we're seeing with the home runs. It's leg kicks. So these big leg kicks, think of Justin Turner. Think of Josh Donaldson. All these guys, now you got high school kids doing it, college kids doing it. A leg kick is a timing mechanism. And when you've got a guy like Jordan Yamamoto who knows how to subtract velocity, even off 91, 92, throwing three different breaking balls, the one is a two-seamer that's kind of barreling in at a right-hander, falling away. He's got a changeup that can actually move both directions. He's the ball's spinning everywhere, but it doesn't have extreme velocity. There is no machine that you can take reps in BP to get ready for that guy. But you can ratchet up the machine to 100 miles an hour to get ready for Jordan Hicks in case he comes in the game. So you're going to see guys like that, like Hendricks, like Yamamoto, like Kenta Maeda. All 30 teams will have one of those guys, maybe two. And dare I say, 10 years from now, that's the norm. There was a kid from Elon that was drafted in the first round, and I – all the tape on all of these kids as I did the draft – I said, I'd take him, number one. They're like, what are you talking about? The kid throws 92. He goes to Elon. I go, guys, he struck out 160, and he walked six. He walked six guys. I can teach velocity. I can get you to gain velocity. There's a new book I'm reading right now. It's all about Trevor Bauer, all the exercises he does to get up to 97, 98 miles an hour. He's not a great athlete. He admits he's not a great athlete. We can gain velocity. We can get power in every position player. Francisco Lindor is a 35 homer guy. Ramon Laureano, who had no power, center fielder for the A's. He's on pace for 21 home runs. Ketel Marte, he's got 17 home runs. This kid had no power at all. Every scout said he would never develop it. He's on pace for 41 home runs. I can develop velocity. I can develop power. But I can't teach pinpoint control. This kid's got it. Let's just get him more velocity. So I think you're going to see guys who are actual craftsmen on the mound who have control and command. They're going to be the guys that are stars of the game. This velocity dead brain heavers, which is why we've got so many home runs in the sport, that's going to be phased out.
You're always great, man. Thanks so much for the time. We do appreciate it.
All right. I'm sorry I went late. I was just a windbag. The Blues got me going.
Oh, we love it. It's awesome. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Take care, guys.
See you, buddy. Take care. That is Greg Amzinger, MLB Network, with us on 101 ESPN, where we want you to think of the worst prank you could possibly pull on your friend. We promise the one in our next story is worse. That's next before With All Due Respect on 101 ESPN.